Juliet. And if you'll remember the problem that they have, that their families are basically feuding. It's I guess it's the earlier version of the Hatfields and McCoys, but Romeo and Juliet fall in love with one another. As Romeo is looking up to Juliet, Juliet says down to him, speaking about his last name, that despite the fact that their families don't get along, that their name, the last name, doesn't mean anything. She says, "What is in a name? That which we call rose by any other word would smell as sweet." Basically, it doesn't really matter what you call a rose, because a rose is a rose. You could describe it as its color, its size, its shape, its texture, whatever. It's always going to be a rose, despite the fact that Romeo has a last name that her family doesn't like. Romeo is still her love. Are names important? Well, yes and no. Many times we use names, and rightly so, to describe things, and that's why we give certain things certain names. For those of you that have ever been frustrated with any kind of a science class, biology or something in school, that you wind up having to go through the scientific names of certain plants. And if you really look at a lot of the scientific names, it makes sense why these plants or animals are named these specific things. They're descriptive names many times. Well, that's just so in religion. If you look in the Bible, the names that you find in the Bible as far as what the followers of Christ call themselves individually or collectively, many times, and there are several different names that the church is called by in the New Testament, and those names are descriptive of what it is. So is it important what we call ourselves? Well, I want to look at that this afternoon briefly. First off, how about individual? Individually, as a worshiper of God, does it matter how I describe myself, what I call myself? Well, it is. Briefly, last week we brought up 1 Corinthians chapter 1 when we talked about division, that Paul was preaching to the church in Corinth that God desires that there be no division among them. And he was saying this because they were going after and following the various preacher that was preaching the gospel instead of the gospel itself. 1 Corinthians 1:12, Paul says, "Now I say to you that each one says, 'I am of Apollos,' or 'I am of Paul,' or 'I am of Cephas,' or 'I am of Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized into the name of Paul?" Paul here is making a very important point. Look, you were baptized into Christ because he was the one that was crucified for you. You are a follower of him. Why would you call yourselves after me, a follower of Paul, or a follower of Apollos, when it is Christ, because of him, because of his sacrifice, because of his death on the cross, made it possible that you have salvation? So what should we call ourselves individually? Well, we find the New Testament church in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, called themselves by a very distinctive name. Acts 11:26 says, and when he found them, he brought them to Antioch, and that the whole year they assembled together with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Christians. Now, of course, that's an extremely common name, one of the major religions in the world today. But this is where it started, and there's a reason for it. Because they were followers, the disciples, the students, were followers of Christ. Why call myself after a follower of Paul when it's who he's preaching that matters? I am a Christian not because of Paul, not because of any one of the apostles necessarily, even though they made it possible that through them God delivered his word to us. Not because of them, not because of anyone alive today, but because of Christ. Anything more than Christian, well, anything more than Christian is too much. What about Christians collectively? What about the church? Is there a specific name that we ought to call ourselves by? Well, like I said before, if you go and you actually study through the New Testament, there are many different names that are given to the Lord's church. Just to name a few, sometimes it's just referred to as the assembly. An assembly is just a gathering of people. It's referred to as the church of the firstborn, the church of God. There are different congregations that are listed. You know, the church in Corinth, or you know, in Revelation chapter 1-3, you have the seven churches of Asia named. You know, the church in Philadelphia, the church in Antioch. That you have many different names that are given to individual congregations, or as a descriptive term, like the church of the firstborn, that are given throughout the New Testament. So what do we call ourselves? Well, just like in Acts chapter 11 in Antioch, that they began calling themselves Christians there, in Romans chapter 16, verse 16, as Paul is winding up his epistle to the church in Rome, he says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you." They refer to themselves as the churches of Christ, these individual congregations. So why the church of Christ? Well, the same reason that they called themselves Christians, because they were followers of Christ. They belonged to Him. We truly are, if we are Christians, if we are followers of Him, we belong to the Lord. We are the Lord's church. Again, anything more than that takes away, diminishes what the Lord is to us. So why should we call ourselves this? What does it really matter? Well, yes and no. Honestly, it wouldn't matter if there is a sign on outside the building or not. There wouldn't necessarily have to be. I imagine that there are, if you went back in the first century and you gathered with the church there in people's homes, they didn't have the church of anything written above their house. It was just their house that they were meeting in. We have a sign outside of our building for the same reason why a store would have a sign out in front of them, to let people know who we are. Why do we call ourselves the Church of Christ? Why do we call ourselves Christians? Well, because that's what the Christians in the first century called themselves. I had, and I've mentioned this before, when I was living in Florida, I had two young men come and knock on my door. Started talking to them. They said that they were there to preach a new gospel to me. They wanted to deliver this new gospel to me. And so I started talking to them, and after a while I said, "Well, you know, I am a Christian, and I'm saved, and here's why." And I went back and I went through Acts chapter 2 with them, and I said, "Look, were the people in, because your church started after the first century church was established, right?" "Well, yes." "Okay, so those Christians in the first century, were they Christians?" "Yes." "Were they saved?" "Yes." "So if I do what they did, would I be saved?" They said, "Well, yes." I said, "Well, I've done that then." You see, they understood that if those Christians in the first century were acceptable to God, and that I imitate them, then I will be acceptable to God. So if I call myself a Christian, just like they did in the first century, would that not be an acceptable name? But even more than that, why is it important that I refer to myself as a follower of Christ, as just a Christian? Well, because it describes who I am. One thing my dad always told my brother and I, and I'm assuming he probably told Sarah, and it's something that his dad would tell him. He said, "Remember who and whose you are. Remember who and whose you are. We are Christians, and we belong to Christ." Let us always remember that. I want to offer the invitation at this time. If there's anyone that has a need, we want to make this time available. If you have a care or concern, something that the church can help you with, especially offer prayer on your behalf, whatever it might be, we encourage you, please come as we stand and sing this song.